Welcome to our webinar this morning. A really interesting topic ahead of us, which is around understanding customers' needs for variable digital print, and a massive topic for our industry. I'm very pleased to welcome Ben Briggs, Phil Gaskin, Ian Cunningham, and Mark Cross. We'll be doing intros in just a moment, so I won't preempt them by saying where they're from and what they do, which is unusual for me because I normally do. What I want to do just before we start is a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, questions. Really like to get some questions from you, so please do jump in with any questions. Two ways you can do that. There's a Q&A box, which you should be able to see at the bottom of your screen. If you click on that, box will open, so you can type questions in there, or you can put your hand up, and we will endeavour to identify that and to get you to ask your question live on air, as it were. So please jump in. It'd be great to have an interactive conversation. So before I go to intros, I just really want to set the scene a little bit. From a BPF point of view, we span across the whole industry, get involved with many things, which you probably know, but I won't go into that in too much detail. But one of the things that we do is track the size and shape of the industry. And I've been in the industry quite a long time, personally as well. So I've seen the industry change massively through that time. But what's been really interesting and encouraging is that the role and strength of print has remained utterly undiminished. And a big part of the reason for that is that digital and variable print has played such an increasing and important role in that. And in fact, what we've really seen is the role of targeted print increase in terms of proportion of overall print over the last 10, 15 years, whilst generic high volume print has played a different role and has actually overall reduced in its scope, whilst online has fulfilled some of its roles. What we'll be looking at today is really what are the ins and outs of variable digital print? What are the things that are perhaps holding us back? What are the opportunities around there? And we've got a fantastic panel in front of us today to run through, taking us all the way from the start of that journey on data through to print and analytics further down the line. So I'm looking forward to an interesting conversation. Thank you for joining us. And I'll now just go around the screen, starting with Ben. If you could just give us a quick précis, Ben, of who you are, what you do, what your organization does.
Sure. Morning, everyone. I'm Ben Briggs. I'm the managing partner of Join the Dots. We are a vibrant, fiercely independent B Corp media agency that creatively connects and simplifies data to drive sustainable growth for our clients. We're part of the Salesyn Group, who help organizations get data and tech ready for a better connected customer experience.
Thank you very much. So that starts that data side. Ian, you're next on my screen, so over to you.
Hi, good morning. Ian Cunningham. I am the global category lead for print, direct mail, and branded merchandise at the APS Group. We are a manufacturer, so we produce direct mail and transactional mail. So that's where digital print comes in for us. We'll take the creative, the files, and then produce them in an efficient way to best speed to market.
Brilliant, thank you. And with perfect timing, Mark, you've grappled with Zoom and got your camera working. So I'm impressed and well done. I know it's been a bit of a journey. So over to you, Mark.
Thanks very much. Yeah, close call there. So I'm Mark Cross. I'm the Engagement Director for JIC Mail. That's why I lead the program, which is for the Joint Industry Currency of Mail. So providing essential data to support the value of mail in the wider kind of communications mix. We've been going for about 5 or 6 years. We can come back to that maybe, but we've now got good penetration across the industry and ecosystem. But if you haven't got our data, please get in touch after this webinar.
Brilliant. Some interesting things that JICMAIL do, and I know that hopefully we'll have time to go into that in a bit more detail. I'm sure we will later on. And Phil, over to you.
Hi, everybody. Phil Gaskin. I'm Business Development Channel Manager at XMPI. XMPI is a software company. We sell a variety of software solutions that span variable data print, omni-channel personalization, and e-commerce as well. We've been going for about 25 years now, and about 80% of our customer base are print service providers, and almost every software solution we sell includes some form of data-driven printing capability. And our software really helps printing companies to protect their print volumes and their revenues by really extending their reach, diversifying into new applications and services, and automating what they do.
Brilliant. Thank you, Phil. And actually, as you've got the microphone for a moment, I want to start by just thinking about the sort of general benefits of variable digital print and integrating data into that process. And then we'll sort of have a quick discussion around that. And then we'll drill in a bit more detail into each individual organization's experience of that. So in general terms, you know, we've seen this massive shift from generic volume to much more targeted. XMPI as a sort of systems integrator play a key role in that. Where have you sort of seen the real advantages and applications of variable digital print?
Well, I think if I go back to the basics, I think sometimes we take it for granted that digital devices, digital printers, every print that's generated is a completely unique original, if you like. And so what we've seen is people have, you know, gone through the phases of changing names and addresses and maybe signatures, but actually there's no extra cost to change every single page for each recipient completely. And our software really allows not just the personalization, but the control of each and every piece of print, so that it becomes a unique offering to each individual. And we do that by integrating into some common tools that virtually every company uses, which is the Adobe Creative Cloud environment. And that means it's very easy to get started, extend what you're already doing, and also deliver personalized content that is inside of brand control, with color management, the design integrity is protected, but also including some features that a lot of people kind of ignore with data-driven print, things like typographic control. So we sort of embrace all of that as part of what we offer as well. And that has meant that our customers have been able to start with very simple direct mail, but very quickly accelerate into doing some really creative, very highly versioned and targeted mailers that are completely on brand, but in a very efficient way as well.
So the idea of individualized print is clearly one of the sort of massive applications of variable digital print. That kind of makes me think immediately of the challenges and the opportunities around using data to make that work. And so Ben, you know, I'd be really interested to hear your views from an agency point of view. I mean, you must have seen such enormous change in how people approach the use of data. How has that change been? How have you seen that evolve?
Yeah, I think the thing we've certainly noticed over the last couple of years is the volume of data and the volume of different data touch points has grown exponentially. I think our challenge as media agencies is trying to understand what are the most kind of useful parts of data to use. And this kind of comes back to how do we integrate data into the kind of backbone of our planning? How do we use it from an effectiveness point of view, which I know Mark will probably touch on later. But we obviously need to understand what's happened before to affect the future, but also then understand what future trends are coming out in terms of how consumers are interacting with mail, as an example. I mean, as an agency business, we use digital print across all media channels, not just mail. We use it for out of home, we use it for press, we use it for inserts, we use it for acquisition and retention. But there's so much of it that we use a mixture of first party data, behavior and attitudinal data, sentiment and emotion, media consumption, as well as kind of economic data touch points, like what's going on with interest rates, what's going on with mortgage rates, how does that affect affordability, particularly when we're talking to clients within the not-for-profit sector, how can we use that data and integrate that with variable digital print, so we are going to consumers or prospects with a more relevant, tailored ask based on their needs and motivations. And we apply a kind of a very rigorous approach to test and learn through A/B testing, validation. It's really comes back to how do you make sense of the wealth of data that there is and make that useful and usable for our clients.
I think I mean, I'll come to Ian just to get a printer's general perspective in a second, but that world of data, it's so interesting, but such a challenge. And I'd be really interested just to come back to you on the customer data versus the generic data out there and your experiences in that world, because it's so important, that side of things, and we don't get that right, then I think we've got a challenge elsewhere. I mean, Ian, at APS Group, you've clearly embraced digital print in a massive way. That's changed the way APS Group work, no doubt. So have you seen that really support APS's growth and development over the sort of recent past?
Well, it's obviously we were very much originally just a printing company with DM in a traditional mode, but over the last 3 or 4 years we've been more transactional based. So we've obviously embraced the larger volume, but even that larger volume world has reduced, you know, whether it's bank statements, whether it's charities, and also I think customers are starting to want to be more creative, you know, hence the integration with agencies, with companies like XMPie and Jikmail to create a much more targeted audience. So the volumes have definitely come down, but there's still a requirement for a printed product. So we do engage in larger volumes and smaller volumes, whether it's on a real fed machine or whether it's on some cut sheet machines as well. Plus, like Ben said, across all our estate of work, whether it's manufacturing or I also work on the print management side, a lot of our suppliers are, you know, moving to a digital world, whether it be point of sale, packaging, and the personalization part is a massive part. And I think there's much easier streamlines into it now, whereas 15, 20 years ago, it was a lot harder. You know, you had inkjet on a web offset press, and unless the volumes were over 1 million, it wasn't really practical. You could only do one color, then you moved into two color, then it suddenly became four, and then there was a massive jump from that sort of process back into your real fed digital work, which now seems to be the focus, and there's very little of that web inline work around now.
Do you see that trend continuing? You know, I think my sense is that for APS, the digital variable side has is such a prevalent part of what goes on. Offset side still around, still I suppose quite important. But are you still seeing that shift more and more towards digital and away from that volume?
Yeah. I think there's still that traditional print regarding brochures and catalogues where customers don't want that variability. But where it comes in for us is around those targeted mailings. Smaller run work where it's easier to slot that in as a process, and the amount of processes in the background. You know, we've got agencies internally as well, so we've got that as well as outsourcing to people like Jikmail to be able to then bring that throughput of data. So I think it's a combination of both, but it I think it could come up a lot here today is about how good that data is.
Yeah.
And how that data is created at the very beginning, as Ben said, around the customer understanding what they want out of the data, to then be able to produce it in whatever channel, whether it's digital print or other formats.
Mm. I think that we will inevitably, you know, the webinar is about understanding customer needs, and the sort of data analytics side of things seems pretty key. And it's a really, I think that kind of, segues into the role of Jikmail, I think, really effectively. I think, and Mark, it'd be really interesting just to maybe just get a little bit overview of that Jikmail journey, actually.
Yeah. So, yes, I think the what I would say is that, you know, we're a kind of only one part of the solution into the challenge you're talking about, is understanding where good data sits. But we're as a joint industry currency, we're what's called a kind of gold standard data. And what that means is it's basically we're run by the industry, we're owned by the industry, we're not for profit. We're here to provide that essential guidance that gives Mail the credit it deserves in an environment that is focused on audiences and actually how Mail connects with audiences. So until we arrived in 2018, every other channel, like that you'll be familiar with the rating system for TV and so on, had invested decades of data and research into understanding audiences. And Mel never had that until we arrived. So we've got a panel who are continuously tracking what happens to the Mel when it lands on the doormat. So the journey in the home and how audiences pick up, interact, and actually what subsequent actions they take on and do, we call them commercial actions, really gives us a fantastically rich picture of insight around that reality, the consumer behaviors of male in the home. Now that's kind of, that sort of data has been data that has traded in other channels, billions and billions of pounds of money in advertising marketplaces. And we've never been in the game until we arrived. So now we, you know, we're broadly, and we important to say we cover advertising mail, but also business mail. So there's about £1 billion worth of advertising mail and £2 billion plus of customer mail. You know, broadly about £3 billion worth of some form of print that we're providing this essential data. And the fact that we're run by the industry is important because it's got the trust and integrity that, you know, no data set is perfect. Everything has kind of trade-offs, but gold standard joint industry currency where we have technical committees, real oversight over the quality control around all this, our standards and so on, is pretty essential for where we take this data. So we've gone from having a dozen subscribers in 2018, right up to over 275 across the ecosystem, including maybe 50 advertisers take our data. So some of the top spenders in the market take our data. And as I say, it's really just understanding actually how many interactions are happening, what happens to people once they, what other actions do they take once they receive mail. And I would say that What's the really interesting thing for me is there's been a real sort of counter trends. So the story of the value of mail and the power of mail is really singing in our data. I have to say, almost in the last 2 years or so, particularly since COVID. So through the cost of living crisis, there's been turmoil in the market. But when you look at the consumer data about how people are interacting with mail, they're engaging with it even more. And they are taking more commercial actions as a result. They are going online more. So the whole kind of richness, because the solution for clients is not about mail versus other channels, actually. It's about mail's place in the mix. And it's just staking your claim for your rightful place in the mix based upon consumer audience interactions and behavior. And that's what we kind of bring, I think, to the market and to everyone on the webinar, is the story actually is really strong. So the overall kind of picture actually, and Ben will kind of feed into it, is actually as we get overloaded with opportunities, even more data, there's increasingly low quality data. You know, there's vanity metrics in digital and so on and so forth. And actually the market overall is actually facing declining effectiveness. So there are established trends where it's getting harder and harder to navigate your way through these data challenges, to put it all together in a way that works for your brand and your campaign and your business. And that's causing people to really overinvest in the short term, not invest enough strategically. But when you look at the trends in our data, it's going in the opposite direction. So getting recognition of the power of print, and some of that absolutely is about its targetability. It's relationships at a kind of quite customized audience level. And one of the things I would say is that, you know, recently we spent a lot of time talking about attention. And again, some of you would be familiar with this. But of course, you know, actually having data that says, well, how many opportunities do people have to sort of view advertising in a digital sense is really questionable, because actually it's fleeting exposures. But when you compare that to the reality, again, of people picking up their mail, giving it their undivided attention as they sort it and they display it, and then they, you know, they interact with it over the course of a month. And we've got 330,000 journeys in the home to kind of draw upon. So the evidence is really, really strong. Then actually just we did an attention study, and that shows that people spent up to 3 minutes with a bit of customer mail. They'll spend even up to a minute across the course of a month with door drops, and that kind of accumulates bit by bit, kind of interaction by interaction across the course of the month. So this kind of vibrant picture of attention and engagement with mail is really there for people to use, and kind of hopefully spark some fresh thinking, some fresh insight, and to give it, as I say, kind of reappraise and rediscover mail in this digital ecosystem and unlock the value that is there. And our data really is I think, comprehensive, It shows the ripple effects across the full journey. It shows this high attention, high engagement. And it really does demand the kind of reappraisal of mail in this sort of modern system. I urge everyone to sort of spend time with it, and we help people spend time with it, because actually that gives you an ability to drive value for your business, because there are, you know, multiple ways into our data to support your case for hopefully driving value for your business and for that of your clients as well.
I do. I mean, it seems to me that, you know, this point of attention and effectiveness goes to the kind of heart of the effective use of print in a world where people are deluged with information coming at them from all directions. And the relevant bit of print produced the right way, you know, I my personal view, and it's not because of the role I do, or perhaps it's a bit, is that, given the budget, you can guarantee you'll get someone's attention. Now, there may be a commercial reality that says that that's a challenge, and that's where proving effectiveness is so important. And I think JIKMAIL's role in that, and I do think this has been a slight challenge for the sector, has been so critically important. I mean, Ben, it'd be really interesting just to go back to, you know, we know print is effective, but actually it's about getting it to the right people saying the right things, isn't it? So I just would be really interested to hear how you approach it at the sort of start of that journey in understanding customers' needs.
Yeah, I think before I touch on that, I think one of the things Mark was saying is, if brought from a broader media perspective, if you look at the millions and millions of pounds that the likes of Channel 4, Bauer, all of the big players in the industry are investing in the movement to addressable media, it's something that Mail has always had the ability to have. And I think that the move in terms of personalization, relevant content, and the investment they are putting into their own first-party data to make that possible, it is a significant shift to a more platform-based play. And it comes back to what Mark was saying in terms of it's audience first, it's not channel first. And there has been a big shift in that. I think that's just a kind of bit of wider context, really. But the rise of addressable media shows that there is a shift towards that in terms of effectiveness as well. I think the other point that was really interesting in terms of what Mark was saying, and a lot of the work that we've done through the DMA's Media Council is on the value of measurement. And Mark touched on the different types of metrics we're looking at. there's still a huge amount of brands that are focusing on short-termism. And that generally aligns to the average tenure of a CMO within the industry, which is about 6 months. They need to drive short-term results in order to stay in gainful employment. So it's no wonder they have typically turned to channels like Meta, like TikTok, because they get that immediate kind of shot in the arm from a results perspective. Whereas a lot of the conversations we're having with brands now is the need to move to lifetime value. And it's not just get people in, it's what journey do they go on. And platforms like JIKMAIL allows us to plan our mail journeys more effectively around the wider communications channel mix. Like Mark said, the quality of data out there is it's mixed, I think, is a fair assumption, particularly with brands' first-party data. The quality of that varies between kind of industry sector. and when you patch that into all of the other data sets there are, again, like I said earlier, there's a huge wealth of data. It's just actually knitting through that. I think the one massive thing that as an agency planner that we've got access to is that tools like JIKMAIL are integrated into mainstream planning platforms like Nielsen Ad Intel, where we can monitor monitor brand spend across a portfolio of clients. And it's also integrated within Kantar's TGI planning platform, which allows us to not only understand how the JIKMAIL data resonates with particular audiences, we can then fuse that into the other things that we use from an agency perspective, which comes back to understanding behaviors and attitudes towards certain brands, how they then interact with all different media channels, which then allows us to create a comms plan that focuses on effectiveness more, over and above anything else.
And so I was just sort of thinking about how, from I don't focus on the customer, from a printer perspective, understanding how to go about even approaching those conversations with clients is quite challenging. Presumably you'd say, well, come and talk to an agency like yourselves as part of that process.
Yeah, I think so. I think the one thing I would say is that the rise of addressable is going to have an impact on the print community, because like you said up front, Charles, it's not a volume game anymore. It's around precision, intelligence, more for less. There's so much data out there. We've seen a rise in platforms like Herdify and StarCount, which allow you to look at community-based activity. So we use that as a kind of hygiene layer in terms of our planning, which allows us to be more precise with where we're targeting based on people that are interacting with the brand on a kind of much more granular level. But also we're able to use that relevance to create a more relevant and effective offer to get them through the door. But because they are engaging at a brand level now, we then find through further analysis that it is an effective way of driving lifetime value, because it's not just about bringing bums on seats anymore. It's how are we going to keep them engaged with our brands to purchase between a 3 and 5 year period, if not longer. It's much more around the quality of the customer coming in rather than the quantity now.
I think understanding, I mean, it's that entire loop, isn't it? Because one is requiring people to actually, I think sometimes invest more in less in a way, but over a longer period of time, actually. And I think that's a really interesting, that's always been an interesting direction for print. And I think, you know, Ian just touched on in his intro speech, the role of variable print on web offset. And I know business I ran a long time ago, we're sort of pioneering that, but it was this, that was a clearly identified part of this move away from do 500,000 through to, it might then be 50,000, which now would seem like quite a lot, but in a much more targeted, value-driven way. I think, Phil, from an XMPI point of view, you sort of sit at a really interesting part of the whole sort of journey from that volume through to targeted use of data and print, really. I just wonder if you've got to sort of talk a little bit about how any sort of particular examples you've seen there and how you've seen that evolve.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Well, you obviously listen to everybody talk, but Ben just referenced relevancy. And most people, when they think about targeted print, they think about personalization, putting your name on it and stuff. But for us, it's yes, we do that, but it's really about relevancy. It's about changing what you could argue is a communication and turning it into a conversation. And that's all about having the right data. But what our software can do with that data is then enable the look and the feel of each individual element to be something that strikes a chord with each and every person. Some of the other things that have been touched on as well, I think you just mentioned there in reference to Ian, what Ian said earlier. I think initially with initial contact, a lot of our prospects and customers are very scared about going from what they consider to be a proven way of mass targeting thousands and thousands of people, sometimes millions of people, and actually just walking away from that with a known sort of response that they're going to get and going to a very small number. But actually, by doing it well with the right data and the right content, what you end up with is way, way better response. And so we are seeing this trend of, rather than huge, great campaigns that bring a very small response, but across a big audience is still significant, to much more smaller but and targeted campaigns, but that are, there's more of them, and they're having much better results. But I do think that takes a bit of confidence, and it's only when you see people start to adopt that and see the results that they realize this is the way forwards. And there's plenty of case studies and evidence out there, but it's tough to go from something that you've been doing for years and change that completely and do something that seems like it's the wrong thing. You're going from, from more right down. But actually, I would always say, less is more.
A couple of really points out. I nearly jumped earlier on when somebody talks about the sort of personalization and targeting. And to me, it's easy to actually, in a way, slightly mislead ourselves to say variable is about personalization. No, personalization is part of this overall thing for me. It ranges from sort of demographic targeting all the way through to personalization. It's that complete spectrum, which I think is is really relevant and important. So yeah, interesting. Yeah, I mean, we talked about, I suppose, understanding effectiveness is sort of the way I would approach that. And it strikes me that that's been quite a challenge for the industry in some ways. I know Jigmail have played a really important role in this, but why do the panel, you know, why do we think it has taken us really what I would say longer than it should have done for the effectiveness of better targeted print to accelerate in terms of how it grows as a part of what we do as an industry? I mean, what have the challenges been? Is it effectiveness? Is it technology? Is it something else? Any views?
I can maybe, it's interesting just picking up on the challenges for the kind of wider industry is that, you know, effectiveness has always been an easy thing to say, you know, how does my activity work? It's been a really hard thing to, you know, to prove that value consistently. And it requires more than just a one-off bit of analysis. It actually requires a sort of, and again, it's you know, wider talk about building an effectiveness culture in your organizations is actually sort of fundamental to it. Because without that, you know, you'll end up using the wrong metrics to the wrong people. You'll be looking at the wrong parts of the kind of, you know, the opportunity. And you'll probably take the easy route. So actually trying to piece it all together requires kind of measurement frameworks. And we've done quite a lot of work around how do you measure this, which is all around not a silver bullet. There are no silver bullets to this. Jigmail isn't the silver bullet. It's a really valuable, as I say, methodology and tool in the kit. But you need to mix your methodologies to, so there are, I mean, Google and Meta are taking, I mean, it's a terrifying stats where, you know, somebody was saying 80% of all new incremental money into advertising is going into Google and Meta. And that's because people are just kind of following the clicks, you know, and actually that whole notion of how do you attribute all these effects we've got in Jigmail for print, which are really powerful, but they're kind of indirect supporting triggering effects for someone else to take the credit of. So there's been big issues about attribution and how you unpick attribution and basically we reweight the response you're getting to its rightful kind of place. So there are complexities in the methodology. It's not an easy task, but I think fundamentally the good clients actually understand this is almost an organizational challenge to sort of encourage us to join up, to understand the full picture, put in place the right kind of culture that allows us to really build value for the longer term. So it's yeah, I think it's always been a challenge. A lot of people don't get it right. It's important that we encourage best practice, and that's what we're always trying to do. To say, look, you know, I think it's about people jumping off, at the very least from our data, into a series of experiments. You know, so we're always encouraging people to test, because our connections of print into digital, for example, are really powerful. The notion of, you know, this time and attention you have with your mail, you know, think about it differently. Are you really leveraging that time spent with your mail to the greatest effect to drive that longer term relationship, to make the strongest connections, make it as relevant as possible to building that journey? Again, they're all sort of tests to be done. But they're, again, they do, I think, require people to prioritize effectiveness above the immediate kind of results, the here and now pressures. And that's, you know, as we know, that's not straightforward.
And Ben, is that a process that you see clients, you know, especially what's interesting is that you must be at the very start of that journey in those conversations. And then presumably, as always, when money's been spent and campaigns have been held, there is a, I want to say post-mortem, but it's more than that. It's an analytic process to understand what's been good and what can be improved. And how much that does center on that attribution piece, and what learnings come out of that in terms of clients understanding their needs better?
Yeah, I think the thing we're seeing is that clients have a better level of education now when it comes to understanding the wider communications channel mix. And it really, in our experience, depends on the kind of agencies they're also working with in a lot of cases. And I think as humans, we're naturally very lazy, and we'll kind of follow the herd, really, in terms of why change something that's not broken. And I think there's a bit of an education piece to be done within agencies. Coming back to what Mark said about the 80% of new money going into Google, that is because most agencies don't understand the value of mail in the comms planning mix. Mm. They are taught by default to, by their peers, to spend money in Google, Meta, TikTok, insert another digital platform, because they don't understand the more traditional methods of communications planning, like mail, or what it was classed as offline media within the kind of wider agency mix. But there's definitely a smartening up of clients in terms of a what comes out of econometrics or MMM models and how they apply that to that. And that's how you layer comms, what, like Mark was saying, the benefits of mail that drives online, as an example, which then feeds into custom attribution models that we can create in terms of giving the right channel the right percentage weighting within an econometrics model, so that the value of each channel is truly defined and realized. Whereas I think Google standard is a kind of typical last click. Therefore, unless you're going to challenge that, and you have that challenge within an agency environment or a client environment to want to understand how the different media layering impacts the overall communications mix, that's got to be there. And clients are being braver now. We're definitely seeing that in terms of pushing the envelope on stuff. But I think, again, it comes back to data and trying to understand the value of it, what drivers, what levers you need to pull and push. But also, I think from the one thing we're seeing in mail is that it does come back to that it's the wealth of data we've got in there now in terms of behaviours and attitudes. That really plays a key part in trying to understand how we use mail as part of the comms mix now, which I think is because all of the other platforms are now catching up with the movement to addressable. There's a lot of light bulbs that have gone off in people's head and saying, oh, we've been able to do that in mail for years. So why haven't we done it? And it's almost sparked that billions of pounds that have been spent in the big platforms to actually realise that mail's had that all along. It's just been underutilised.
So there's been that kind of, I'm going to be misunderstood and intended to about agencies, but there's been this herd mentality around using, you know, which is where the 80% has gone, I guess. There's an education process there. Jigmail are a key part of that. I suppose there's also this point. So there's the agency behaviours, but there's also the client behaviours. And you know, one point you made there was about trial and error. To me, so much marketing is about testing things and seeing whether they work or not. I suppose, you know, to be honest, one of our frustrations about use of print generally has been that one of the really interesting things about viral digital print is the ability to do much more interesting things at much smaller scale, much more cost effectively. I suppose I'm interested to talk about maybe, and this is not just about the print industry, but from an industry perspective, what role can we play in getting clients to understand that better? And Ben, you may want to make some comments, and I don't know whether Ian and Phil want to jump in on that, because it does seem to take a lot of time to get people to understand that, you know, we can do things at much lower volume, much more cost effective than we could in the past.
Yeah, just jumping quickly on that, I think the one thing we're certainly seeing is that when I kind of first started out back in the day, 15 years ago, what we were seeing is that it was taking a lot longer for responses to filter through in terms of a typical response curve would take for mail would take anywhere between kind of 12 and 14 weeks. And from bringing that into an optimization cycle where you've got something like digital or TV, where you can optimize within a week or a day or change it within minutes, particularly on digital, the response curve for printed media has dropped significantly. Like we work with an e-commerce brand and their response curve completes within about 5 weeks. Now, it's a bit of a game changer, particularly in that sector, in that you go from missing out on a couple of months worth of campaigns to being able to optimize within a 2 month cycle, which means we can be much more reactive to the data within that, which is obviously amazing. And it's another thing that kind of levels the playing field within mail as a channel now, whereas that's something that never used to be there because of the length. You've obviously got innovations within technology like QR codes, which speed up that response curve, text codes. Everything's kind of caught up from a technology point of view. Like personalized URLs, you can measure effectiveness a lot more quickly. So that the tech is kind of catching up to allow us as agencies to be able to optimize quicker within mail. That would be what I would say.
Brilliant. We've seen a couple of hands go up on the panel, which is I suppose I'll come to you next, Ian, but in a massive change of technology, massive advance in technology, I think it's a challenge, and it's something we think about as an organization. So how do we make sure that the market is educated around that change in technology and what can be done? And Ian, I was going to ask you whether that was a sort of a frustration and an opportunity for APS, but you put your hand up, so please jump in.
No, so I think people like ourselves have had to invest heavily in the final piece of the product, whether it's the machine or software. So we need to be ready to be able to press the button and produce quickly to help speed for that speed to market, which obviously was different years ago. So I think for us, the challenge, along with all the data, I think is the lack of interaction between people like Jikmail and Ben's company and XMPI, where now that's a lot more smoother. But again, it's getting in front of customers to do some. I mean, we do some customer days, some learning days, because we've got customers that really do think that the large volume is the way to go. But their infrastructure is such that they can't see light at the end of the tunnel to go more targeted. So we have those with partners to discuss that and look at ways of overcoming those hurdles. But again, it is about communication and talking. You know, it's easy to take on a big contract and churn out millions of map packs every year. But at some point, that somebody somewhere will query that, challenge it, and think that actually that's all you do. You know, yeah. So you do need to be very open and transparent with a customer around what you can do and how you can develop their journey, which might be small volume packs, it might be large volume packs, it might be I want to give 60 boxes to my top customers with a unique product in. So it's about having that ability to share with the customer that you can be that diverse rather than being pigeonholed in a way that direct mail has been over the years, whereas now it's a much more clever industry with a lot more return. I mean, listening to Mark, I used to be in agencies, in sales promotion agencies years ago. I think they call it shopper marketing now, but they may be called something else now. But the return on information was if somebody'd spent a coupon and not much else really, or how many people have bought a record or how many people have been into a store, you know, whereas now there's much more intelligence around what can be picked up to then tidy your data up. So for us, from a manufacturing point of view, it's making sure we have the right internal technology to take a customer's data in whatever format and, without sounding crude, squirt it out onto a piece of paper of some description at speed so that it can get out to the market quickly as well.
That looks beautiful and is highly effective.
Exactly. A given, Charles, aren't it?
Absolutely, totally. Phil, I'll come to you in a second, but actually, I mean, what you're getting at there, it seems to me, is that there is this massive opportunity. We talked about how there is an increasing realization, which Ben and Mark touched upon. So there is a big opportunity, but it's more complex conversations because there are so many different stakeholders to help people understand the opportunity on that journey. And it seems to me that, you know, it's the data, it's actually the OEMs, the equipment manufacturers, it's the printers, it's the client. It's much more multifaceted, and it's so far away from historically where certainly a lot of print has been, which is in that volume market.
I mean, just to add, Charles, but very quickly, just very one quick one, was it's not just the big customers. It's not just the big brands. It's about attracting those smaller brands as well, because I think they can sometimes feel a bit left out because they think, oh, I can't really approach somebody like APS because I'm only a small company. But there's no reason why you can't apply all those rules and all those great ideas to a customer that or a brand that's much smaller as well. So that,
that's really, I mean, that's straight back into that education piece that we've touched on around educating agencies. Education sounds a bit patronized. So increasing understanding of agencies, increasing understanding of clients. And I'm actually, it did remind me of one of the points I was going to sort of just pick up was, you know, this perception that things can't be done unless they're enormous in volume. And that's simply not the case, is it, Ian? So it's interesting that you pick that up as a frustration, actually.
That's true. I think it's, I think we're seeing that change anyway, but I think it's important that, you know, people who might see this webinar later will understand we're not, our experience is covering both now. We're talking small government departments, or we're talking some small, a much more targeted brand that wants specific products. So you have to adapt.
And there is that scalability as well. Phil, you've been pretty patient.
That's okay. I was actually just wanting to build on what Ben had said before, but I can also cover off on in terms of education and getting started, as it were. Obviously, our software supports omni-channel capabilities as well. And, you know, that whole, since the pandemic, which again was referenced earlier, pretty much everybody on the planet knows how to interact with a QR code. As dull as they may seem, the reality is that direct mail is now, you know, not just called direct mail, but people refer to it as two-way or bi-directional mail, because it's so easy to include some sort of call to action that goes directly and instantly from that person with the mail in their hand online. But the more important thing for me is, you know, you look at that from a brand to consumer perspective, what's happening there is that you've got somebody to, with consent, go onto a web page where you can then get consent if they provide you with further information to actually then start communicating with them in a blend of different ways. But the key thing there is that you've actually got them there without even necessarily knowing who they are, because you could just be literally sending to an address rather than an individual. So they're anonymous. And the other great thing is that even if they don't do anything, they don't give you their details and go any further, you've also got that, as Ben referred to, you've also got that extra analytic capability of knowing that you've had so many people that were actually interested enough. And that can help you then refine maybe the next campaign as well, in terms of how you might change the content or the actual appearance of it. And in terms of really following up, you said about, you know, how from an education perspective, and I think for us, we try and make VDP, variable data printing, as accessible as possible. We've got a free trial of our software that's available to download from the XMPI website. But, you know, that works with PC and Mac. And the reason I'm sort of mentioning this is that some of our customers are, you know, 1, 2, 3 employees, and they're making a go of it, and they're making it, you know, and it's building and growing their business. And they're seeing the results, and they're going out there. In some cases, they're actually being more successful at winning larger clients than some of our bigger customers that have got hundreds of employees that, you know, don't get me wrong, they're still using the software to the full effect. But I think it's just it's a scalable solution that we offer. Doesn't matter how big you are, there's an opportunity for you to get into this and start doing this and really changing the way that you go to market with your business.
Yeah, I think that increased scalability of the opportunity from small all the way up to large is a really interesting area to go. I'm interested to sort of just go back into this sort of understanding the role of I would say print and online together. And QR codes, we now see almost in so many different applications. Have we seen real step change in how that sort of feedback loop has been closed in terms of, I think, Ben, you mentioned personalized URLs, for example, been around for a long time, as have QR codes. Are we seeing integration to that level of approach or not?
Yeah, I think so. This kind of links back to what Ian was saying a minute ago as well, in terms of my wider point. I think there has been a massive shift in terms of the entire supply chain now working more collaboratively together, which from our perspective as an agency has been kind of game changing, really, in terms of when we look at a brief, we'll obviously be able to look at all of the data and the insights that sits behind the kind of deeper understanding of the consumer. But it's not until we then involve the wider supply chain, be that the creative agency who needs to come up with the piece of content, or people like APS, that we kind of say, well, is this possible? If not, what can you do? What does your printing technology enable us to do in terms of speaking to that customer on a one-to-one level? And that comes back to, like, what you know your kit more than we do, what's possible? And that comes back to things like how can we integrate QR code? There's other things that I've seen in the market, like thermotransparent ink that brands like ASICS have used in terms of laying down ads on the page to measure their foot size. It's all of that sort of stuff that there is a load of technology that is available, not just from a measurement point of view, which QR codes are coming to the fore more and more now, but it's there was a level of protection between, well, I'm not going to let the printer get involved, or I'm not going to let the creative agency get involved in speaking to the client, because there is a fear of loss of business. Whereas as an industry, there's been a lot more work from, like, yourselves, Charles, at the BPIF, the IPIA, the SMP, the DMA, all coming together for the greater good of the industry. And we do a lot of work with Mark's team at Jigmail in terms of promoting the wider industry and understanding mail and taking that into bigger agencies that don't understand it. But there's a lot more collaboration, and that is benefiting the channel massively.
I think we look at this £13 billion print industry, okay, you know, and it goes from carton production boxes, let's say, through to highly personalized, you know, individual bits of beautiful print. And so we need to segment those conversations. We do it vertically as far as possible, but part of our role is to try to join up the different stakeholders in those conversations. And actually, you know, my sense is that the challenges and just the challenges around actually doing that are something that have held back the advance and progress that we're now seeing being made, actually. And I think Jigmail have been a key part of that. I suppose I want to just explore, you know, what we can do as stakeholders in this industry to accelerate that process further, really. I don't know with Jigmail, whether Mark, you want to talk a little bit more about how Jigmail will sort of develop into the future?
Yeah, I mean, very much the kind of mission remains to sort of drive value across the ecosystem from our data, but through collaboration and taking, you know, it's not about just our data in isolation, it's how it fits with client data, with other data sources and so on. So we're always keen to be looking to just blend our data with other data sources, which is a positive force. So, you know, being able to target, you know, integrating our data set into StarCount data, for example, where you can target the same postcodes physically and digitally,
yeah,
it is kind of going where the market's going. So some of these sort of trends that, you know, that again Ben's touching on about the role of technology, innovation, how are they going to work for mail? So there's a mixed thing here, Charles. So we will be looking to continue to inspire using our data around these areas, these new areas. And for that, we need partners, we need use cases and willing clients to talk about it. There are an increasing number of those kind of conversations. So we're kind of feeling the collaboration benefit back to us. And of course, the education piece is always going to be there. So we've got free training available. So first, I should say, quick plug, the data access is free. So anyone on the webinar who hasn't got access to our data, even if they're not quite sure how they would use it, come and talk to us. And again, I'm sure we can create a use case for you. So the data is free, the training is free, and we've got different levels of training. But we know that when people spend time with our data, and that's particularly when they do a gold use case, so they create their own use case using Jigmail data, integrated into their own, you know, client challenges and so on, that's a bit transformative, because actually, you know, that creates a meaningful example and proof point and builds confidence around actually okay, we can now create some more, you know, gold-winning business-driving use cases. And they're all then, and it isn't, as I say, it's all about how it fits in the wider kind of campaign piece as well. So we'll be continuing to sort of plug and push on education. We've got more bespoke, customized training programs in development. And again, I think, you know, anyone who particularly wants to talk to us about a slightly customized version for their needs, again, we're open to that as well. So we've got, we're kind of always there to go the extra mile within the constraints of our resources, but, you know, continuing to integrate our data, to inspire around our data, and absolutely to educate and promote. It relies upon this collaboration. And I think in that sense, you know, we are but one piece, but it's a valuable piece that relies upon people to kind of come together behind it. But yes, so we will continue to do all these things. And I think the evidence will simply get stronger. So the good news is, you know, the evidence is getting stronger. So we can feel quite bullish about it. But the harder bit is actually creating those conversations. And I think that requires a collaboration. So, you know, we can help create those conversations, but probably your members need to have them. You know, and
I just could not agree more strongly with what you said there. And I do want to say your point about plugs are to be absolutely encouraged, because that's why we're doing this. Now we're trying to raise awareness of what is possible out there. I mean, Ian, really interesting, because I think I might come back to you in a minute, Mark, but my sense is that what Jicmail do, there's amazing content and information there. And my sense is frustration might be too strong a word, but raising awareness and use of that has been, you know, given how brilliant it is, more challenging than I would expect it to be, actually. And Ian, just sort of straw poll, when you talk to clients and work in your world, do you see an awareness of how people can understand effectiveness and use tools like Jicmail?
I think people are starting to see it. And I think also it's like what Ben said about, because I worked in agencies, and you were very insular. You know, you just passed it over the fence to a producer. Whereas now it's a much closer relationship, whether we invest in creative people to work with it and push it forward. But I think the important thing is just to keep talking about it, and that communication I think is really important. And the closer you are together with partners, and industry partners as well, and organizations, I think there's a lot to learn from. And sometimes having customers on site helps. And I think, and also having that clear conversation around what is the possible and what's suited to the brand. And, you know, it's like Ben said, sometimes it's good to have that call out initially to say, we've got this great campaign, but can we produce it? You know, because all the customer will do at the end of the journey will go, well, we never really got what we wanted because we never really spoke to the support, to the producer. So I think more and more for us is having that communication, so we can do it to our end to a customer, as well as an agency or a data provider can do at their end as well, which is at the start of the journey. So I think the fact that we're all on a webinar today proves that we are all in the same space, which I think is good to see as well.
I think we can see the opportunity, and we can see some of the challenges. It's trying to work. Somebody said earlier, there aren't silver bullets. I've got reached an age where I'm very keenly aware there aren't silver bullets. Things are typically sadly trickier than we expect them to be and take a bit longer. And then you suddenly may get a breakthrough. I mean, Phil, you talked about XMPI, and you know, I think you said that you've got test systems or free to use systems that people can kind of plug and play to try them out. Was that correct? Are you seeing engagement there?
Yeah, I mean, it's back to, you know, the fact we plug into Adobe software, that's huge in a sort of a pre-press environment for most printers. So they're probably already using the Adobe software. You can download our we call it UDirect, which is our desktop variable data printing solution. And that allows, you know, efficient production of really up to quite large print runs. But we also then, as volumes increase, we actually have a server-based solution. So we offer that free version. If anybody's interested, you can download it from the website. They can contact me, and I can provide a full 30-day unlimited license that they can obviously evaluate it and see. And we're very successful with that, because people that use Adobe download it, they use it, and they see the instant return from it. And it actually becomes a really easy way for them to get on board with using the software and driving the value for their clients as well.
Interesting. Yeah, so there's definitely an ongoing effort that we all need to put into to raise awareness and seek engagement. I kind of want to move on to, I suppose, how we see things develop in future. And again, impossible not to start with the data side of things. I think Ben, you mentioned, was it StarCount? And how do you, I'm familiar with what they do to a degree, but we've also seen a revolution in AI. I think actually rightly, almost no public event is valid without some sort of conversation around AI, but it is clearly going to change so significantly the world that we live in. Most of us don't necessarily, I don't think anyone really knows how that will play out, but we do know it'll be changed. Are you seeing AI play a role in understanding client use, and is that making life easier or more difficult?
I think the first point I'd make on AI is that it's only ever going to be as good as the data that goes into it. So like I said at the beginning, it's got to form, the kind of quality has got to be top notch, as well as training the AI to do what you want it to do. And was it in a meeting last week when our chief data officer was talking about how you be polite to the AI and say please and thank you to it, because ultimately they're learning from how we're addressing the AI at a very simplistic level. We, as part of the Salison Group, we are one of four global partners, the only one in the UK that is trialing and part of the Copilot roadmap for innovation, Microsoft's platform. So we are kind of involved in early discussions around what Copilot looks like from a kind of future dev perspective. We're using Copilot internally at the moment in terms of customer journey design, particularly from an ECRM and a kind of campaign strategy perspective, but it is coming at a pace. I don't think anyone's ready for it fully yet, but there is obviously a need for that. We're exploring it in terms of how can we use AI to do the more automated tasks like campaign analytics, data analytics, in terms of what takes a human kind of 3 to 5 days to do, with the AI can do it within kind of half a day, couple of hours. It's just doing a lot of the kind of heavy lifting slash number crunching in terms of how we kind of come up with a strategic framework to kind of move forward from. So we definitely are starting to use it. Clients are starting to want to learn more about it in terms of how they use that to plan customer journeys, particularly on the retention side, because it's a lot easier. I think the acquisition side is going to take a bit longer. We know that kind of other agency groups like Essence Mediacom have made a massive leap into AI and technology. There's other brands across the kind of global platform like Publicis that have invested in tech platforms, and they've got their own product called Marcel. That does kind of effective campaign planning off the back of that, based on that kind of lots and lots of client data that sits behind it. So it's definitely coming forward more and more. I guess the more immediate thing that kind of brands specifically can benefit from is kind of content generation. In terms of it, it's obviously a much lower cost entry to the SME market in terms of being able to create relevant content based on the data that sits behind stuff. So that's there as an option as well, I think.
So it's actually, I think what we're saying there, and Phil, I'll come to you in a second, but it's facilitating and accelerating things that we, and sometimes improving things that we already do as much as anything. And beyond that, I think it's sort of watching brief to understand how it evolves.
Yeah, I think that there was a statistic I read about 6 weeks ago that said, it was in Campaign magazine, around that 80% of planners are going to be redundant within 18 months. Which as a media planner is quite a frightful thing, but I think there's always going to be a role for the kind of human thinking element of it, because and I'm sure Mark will attest to this, is that there's so many different data points that you need to get your head around, and trying to train an AI to bring all of that data to a single point, single thread that you then transfer through your supply chain is only something that a human is going to be able to want to do.
Yeah, no, I think I was reading something recently about exactly that point. And I'm an ex-accountant. You're never an ex-accountant. But actually, the role of technology and tools, and AI is a technology and is a tool. What it tends to do is elevate the value that we add. So for the finance world, it's elevated the role of finance people, arguably elevated, changed their role. I'll be more neutral, from one of, you know, number crunching through to, you know, much more business insight, business management side of things. Phil, you put your hand up. I just we're touching on AI. Got us into this data side of things as well, really, didn't it?
Yeah. So we take data as it's presented, obviously, and we use that to drive content. But as Ben alluded to, we're already we're calling it shaping the future of personalization. We're looking at AI, and we're using AI as a way of complementing what you've already got. Because if you think about data, you know, you've not always got as much data as you would like. So typically the way that people take that data is there's the personalized or the you know, the relevant element, but then you've got to sort of almost segment things in terms of what assets have I got, or which bucket can I put this person in terms of the messaging. What we're doing is we're saying, okay, with this, go get me some generative content that will help articulate the value of this to a particular individual. So it's not really data, it's content. We've got a great demo where we actually start with zero data and we create a complete omnichannel interactive experience, including a personalized video that even speaks the AI content back to you with imagery that's based on locations that you've mentioned. But in the sort of print space, I use an analogy normally of something that most people can relate to, which is buying a house. You've got a house and you've got a set of parameters, you know, how many bedrooms, where it is, etc. But depending on who you're trying to sell that house to, it could be one of any number of different people with different circumstances. You know, maybe they're single, family, maybe they work in London, they work in Reading. But you can take what you've got and say, right, okay, now take all that information and provide me a paragraph that complements what I've got that's reasonably optimized already, but to sell it to that individual. So you can start to see how AI can help in the content space, not generating everything, but just enhancing what you've already got in the data space.
So you've got the data, you've got the content, and then you've got AI and, you know, taking it back to understanding customers' needs for variable digital print. It's specifying that in a more targeted, the danger of getting rid of something, but in a more individualized way for a particular, actually could even be a particular potential customer, couldn't it?
You've
got the technology to do all of that, from data through to analyzing, creating content through to printing or online later on.
Yeah, and it's back to relevancy, really. It's making it more relevant to an individual rather than just presenting information based on what you know.
Interesting. I suppose we haven't had many questions come in on the chat so far. So I wanted to just make sure we picked up the main points, really, and just sort of go around the screen a little bit. And if you could see, you know, one major challenge or opportunity, or one thing you'd most like to see happen for us to increase the ability of our markets and our customers to understand the opportunities around print and variable data, what would that be? It's a chance to just sort of jump in and riff a bit. Mark, I suspect you've probably got some views on this.
I think a bit of a tipping point in that overall kind of rediscovery of the opportunity based upon the contemporary challenges. So whether it's around attention, whether it's around personalization, addressability, geo-targeting, somehow, would you believe, the wider market doesn't naturally think of mail in those contexts, but I don't think it's far off it. So I think I think that kind of moment of rediscovery and unlocking the opportunity amongst that kind of core set of essentially planners, but they could be, you know, advertisers, you know, brands as well as planners. That's what I'd like to see, you know, unlock the value based on its merit. And I really think we're not that far away, but we probably need a bit more inspiration to really make that happen.
Some of that inspiration may come, of course, from having a good dig around the Jicmail information and insight.
Absolutely.
On the sort of data analytics agency side, Ben, the whole world of improved client data is a probably a massive topic in itself. But what is it that's holding us back on that side? Where's the opportunity, do you think?
I think it comes back to understanding. To Phil's point earlier, there is so much data. It's understanding what's going to shift the needle in terms of relevance. And it's drawing all of those different data points to the salient point and the question that you are trying to solve from a client's perspective. I think the other thing is I would always say is be massively open to new technologies and ways of working. I mean, Mark touched on StarCount Herdify. There's another platform or data platform we've started using called Herdify, which is all around how you understand communities' interactions on a brand level. But again, for us, it's a refinement tool. So it's a hygiene layer that we are applying to mail campaigns now. And we've seen across a number of different verticals and measurement points that the application of that data does give you more for less. It means that we are, to Phil and Ian's point earlier, it's the volume game is not there anymore. I think it's the intelligent application of that data to give you more for less, in terms of you don't need to put as much content out in market now, but if you are communicating with an audience that you know already engaged with a brand, and you're then sending them a message that is at the right time with the right offer to the right person, it's marketing 101 at the end of the day. I think it's that. And for me, it's to Mark's point about learning more about the channel. Strongly recommend that particularly within agencies as well. There's got to be more education. I know Mark's team do a fantastic job of doing that. And in involving the entire supply chain. Those moments of inspiration, we did a campaign for Jaguar Land Rover a couple of years ago where we reinvented direct mail and used a button and GPRS technology to drive a response. But had we not been in a room with the supply chain, the printer, the creative agency, we would have never come up with that idea, which was to solve a real world problem in that people do have digital fatigue when it comes to comms. And it was how can we use a piece of mail to give them a digital experience, but do that in a very tactile way that is going to allow them to consume that piece of mail in their leisure time and interact with it.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. I think this, I should try and sum up a little bit at the end, but getting out and engaging, because it's such a fast moving world, firstly. Secondly, the challenge and the opportunity of getting the supply chain to work together, you know, I feel so strongly about that. I think it's a massive opportunity for us as a collective industry, actually. And I think we're getting better and better at it all the time. But it always feels, and this is just life, it always feels no silver bullets again, I suppose. It always feels harder than it should, but we're making progress. I mean, Ian, if you could wave, could even give you a magic wand at this stage, but what would you really like to see change to kind of help APS accelerate that growth and use of value-added variable digital print?
I think it's, again, I'm maybe a bit boring, but that communication piece is important, that making sure you're in front of your customers and that you can work with customers, and hopefully they have the same culture view as well, because that's the other side of it. You know, if they're adamant they only want a certain type of way of working. And I think, like the guys have already said, you know, having that open relationship with your supply chain does help when you are wanting it out the door in 2 days to get it done and dusted and delivered to the expectations that maybe a visual provided at the beginning of the whole process or a meeting provided. So I think the more open we are, the better, and the more open customers are to look at those other alternatives rather than close the door and think we now need to move on, you know. And then for us as a supply chain, we need to be, I wouldn't say investing, although we are investing, but keeping ahead of what those technology requirements are to be able to deliver that, you know. A majority of that software and technology at the back end to deliver the product at the end in an efficient way and a sustainable way as well, because obviously sustainability is an important part of all this as well.
I think this is maybe, we've talked a lot about what we'd like to see clients do, but actually, you know, we're clients ourselves in different ways, different organizations, aren't we? And we need to do exactly the same things. We need to get out and see our clients. We need to get out and see our suppliers. I think actually in many ways, more time with our suppliers is probably more important than ever before, because there's so much technology change out there. And actually it's fun. It's interesting. It's engaging. We're social creatures. And Phil, if I give you that magic wand.
Yeah. I was going to suggest coming in there anyway, because it's interesting, because you know, I see customers of ours that have been very successful, and for them it's very easy then to go on and to sell that concept to their, you know, other clients and prospects that they meet. And I guess the same is true with APS, from what Ian said about the targeting, you know, mailings that they do. They've seen the results. They know how to articulate it. But it's about being, you know, be brave, be bold. If you've not done it, then, you know, look at case studies, look at what people are doing, and, you know, don't be afraid to offer what is essentially advice and consultation rather than just taking a brief and doing it. I mean, I've got examples of where, you know, some of our customers have said, oh, well, didn't think it was ever going to work because the design was bad and the data didn't do this, that, and the other. I said, well, why don't you just, you know, suggest things to them? And I think, you know, for me, it would be that. Look at what you can do, the art of the possible, and actually have that value conversation as a consultation rather than just agree to do some print. And that drives more volume, and obviously you become more confident, you get the statistics, the analytics to be able to then have a confident conversation as you move on, because you can see those. But there's loads of case studies out there. We've got them on our website. You know, loads of companies that have been successful are quite happy to, you know, our customers are quite happy to put out there what they've done and what it's done for their business as well.
Yeah, I think it's... comes back to the point of getting out and engaging and having those conversations and keeping an open mind, doesn't it? And I think that, you know, from a actually using variable data, let alone in print, it now is that value conversation. It's not, the cost is obviously important, but we need to be able to show the value and effectiveness of what we do. And there's so much evidence out there. There's so much support, whether it's Jigmail, XMPI, the agency side, or APS, everyone's got strong case studies and really interesting technology coming in or in place that can help us do things that we just couldn't do before. And that's fast moving. To me, it makes our industry even more exciting, actually, because we're talking about how we help our client base be successful in their businesses, actually. And we're doing it in a channel agnostic way. We have to, actually. But we do it channel agnostic because we're so confident in the value that our specific channels can add in those journeys and those conversations. We're 21 minutes past now. We haven't got any questions from the panel, so I don't know whether anyone's got any parting words. I think I've probably already asked you for them with your magic wand. Okay. But any sort of parting words before we sign off in a couple of minutes' time?
I mean, I'll just throw in, to be honest, that certainly in the print industry, everybody seems quite you know, hung up on the cost of mailing, okay? But actually, what shocks me is the cost of digital advertising. And, you know, when you start looking at how much money's been put into that and the cost of, you know, click for ads and things like that. Actually, when you start understanding that, and as we've already talked about earlier on, it's not about sending out to the millions. It's about actually being much more targeted and relevant to smaller audiences. It really does stack up in terms of the statistics and you know what direct mail, highly targeted print can actually generate.
Mm. Yeah, and whether that's a client doing things in a more targeted, smaller scale way, or actually, I'd say the same with printers, which is obviously a sector that their ability to go and talk to even the OEMs who can produce the technology in a more scalable way as well. It's not £10 million on a web offset press and you need two in case one breaks.
I think the only thing I'd build on that, Charles, is to, you know, what our constant urge, and I think it's just more relevant than ever, is just to encourage that experimentation.
Yeah.
So you can run, you know, classic A-B testing in mail is much better you can in mail than it is with other channels. So, you know, these are compelling hypotheses about how we're going to drive value. So just put 10% of your budget into a test and descale it and learn and build your evidence and then go from there. So a kind of constant, I suppose, my on the back of the data we've got is there's no excuse not to test and learn with this.
And the data, the analytics, the insight, the sense of what may work is there, and the technology to produce it. Fantastic. Okay, well, I'm going to say thank you to all the panel. In case you've got, you do feel free to jump in any words in case I've missed anything. But thank you very much to Phil, to Ben, to Mark, to Ian. I suppose my parting words would be around the massive opportunity, which I feel is still unrealized, partially. You know, we are on that journey, but there's still enormous opportunity ahead of us. I feel more strongly that there is more opportunity in our industry than there has been for a very long time. It's not to say there isn't significant change going out. There is, but this is part of that change. And this is part of moving into that really exciting world. And I think that we realize that by engaging actually in these conversations. I think we realize it by engaging with people who work in different disciplines and fields to us, actually. And I think that, you know, we've all got a role to play, and we certainly do as an organization, in facilitating and encouraging organizations and individuals to do that. So that would be my message. Get out, engage, and have some fun. It's very exciting. Thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate the panel's time in particular, and to everyone who's joined us today. Thank you.